I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I'm speaking with mixed media artist Aubrey Longley Cook. Aubrey, as a mixed media artist, focuses mainly in embroidery and animation. Aubrey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Floyd. Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you could make it. Glad to be speaking with you today. Let's start with home. Where is home for you?
I live just up the street, actually, from Wonder Root. I'm in Grant Park, and I've been in Atlanta for 5.5 years, and I've lived in Decatur, Inman Park, Candler Park, and now Grant Park is my home, and it's very sweet. I love it.
Okay. And growing up, you're not from the South, so you're not from Atlanta. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Hartford, Connecticut, and I lived there until going to school in Providence, Rhode Island. And then after graduating, I moved down here.
So straight after graduation, you came to Atlanta?
Yeah, there was about a month.
Okay.
Just enough time to have a big yard sale and say goodbye, and just got in a car with some friends and moved down here. And actually haven't been back to that area since.
Really?
No. The farthest north I've been is New York. And I do miss it. It's especially in the fall when the leaves are so pretty. But I love it down here. I've been here, like I said, 5.5 years, and it's a really lovely place. My sister's been here for a little longer. She's been here, gosh, about 11 years now, I think. And I visited her a bunch in school, and just kind of got to know the city through her. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I love the amount of trees and the woods, and also just the gay community was really open and welcoming, even as just a visitor. And yeah, when I finished school, I was just deciding where I wanted to move to, and I wanted to get out of New England. I grew up there, and just kind of needed new space, new energy. And I didn't want to move to New York. I didn't want to move to LA. And just the time I'd spent here with my sister was really enjoyable. And a good friend of mine in school grew up in Athens, and we'd done a couple road trips and camping trips. And I loved that it was a metropolis that you could easily get out of and, you know, go out in the woods and go swim in a lake and jump in a river. And all of that was really inviting and really, I don't know, there was something really lovely about it. And also in school, I noticed a lot of my friends were from the South, and a lot of people just had these lovely mentalities, and really just it spoke to kind of the pace of life down here, which since moving here has proven to be true, that there's something really comforting and lovely and sweet and just honest. So yeah, it was a really happy move, and I'm very happy to have found my way down here. I have a lot of friends up in New York and all over the place. And whenever people come down and visit, they're always super jealous and talk about how they want to move down here.
What has it meant for your art to be down here?
You know, it's given me a lot of space and a lot of time. I went to school for animation, and I did take embroidery classes while I was in school, but my focus was animation. And when I moved down here, I was working on a freelance watercolor. It was a web animation ad project, which was really fun and great. And unfortunately, it didn't really end well. It was for a Swiss company that ended up kind of being a little bootleg, and so it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth for animation. I spent, you know, a good month hand painting all of these pieces, and it looked beautiful, but it was, you know, unusable because this company didn't need it anymore. So after that, my focus really shifted, and I really just started to embrace the embroidery that I had been doing for a few years. And I think the sensibility of the South really played into that. And I think the amount of kind of personal space and time that I found down here really nurtured that kind of interest. And I think that kind of the history of the South is, I don't know, it inspired me and kind of played into it, and the kind of antiquated technique and the pace of the work just kind of spoke to kind of the pace of life of Atlanta, if that makes sense. And it just kind of felt right. And I just continued to create pieces, and I started going to a lot of the openings and shows, whether at, you know, galleries like Mint and Beep Beep and Youngblood, and just starting to really kind of get to know the art scene here, and especially the emerging art scene, the younger galleries and younger shows. And eventually I started to kind of make connections and started to get a couple pieces in some shows. The first kind of big show for me was Mondo Homo's art opening. And Mondo Homo has been great. It's a queer festival that happens every Memorial Day, and they have, you know, many aspects to it, whether the art night, they have, hip hop, they have, different performances, they have many aspects to it. It's a really great festival. And I've been in the art show for, I think, the last 5 years. And that was kind of the first time that my work was written up, and which was, really lovely and wonderful. And
well, let's talk about your art then, because I want to go back to the start of when you began to embrace embroidery. And I think I read somewhere that your mother was a big influence on you. And her passing away was a big influence on you.
Absolutely.
So can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, of course. Yeah, let me talk about how I became to stitch and how I became to be an embroiderer. My mother, is a huge influence on me, as many gay men, and she passed away when I was 15, and which was definitely tough, as it is for anyone who's lost a parent, especially at a young age. And soon afterward, I really kind of put a lot of my energy into art, and I was in high school and, drawing classes, printmaking classes, ceramics. I wasn't doing any fibers while in high school, but just kind of foundation skills, and really just found out that I found a lot of solace working in studio. And I really devoted the rest of my time in high school to that focus. And I applied to art schools, and I went to Rhode Island School of Design, and I wanted to go for animation, and which is what I did. And while I was in school, it was sophomore year, and I'd finished the freshman foundation year, which was fantastic, and sophomore year was when you begin your major, and so I was taking intro animation classes, like intro to puppet animation, kind of intro to film animation, just learning techniques, basics, timing, weight, movement, all that good stuff. But at the time it was, small projects. It was week-long projects, and, anyone that's done animation, a week is not much time. So most of the work that I was producing was a second or two. So really kind of small clips. And I started stitching around that time. It was towards the end of the fall semester of my sophomore year. And I think it was out of a need to just do something for myself. And I was doing a lot of sketching and working in sketchbooks, and I was doing all these projects that were exciting and fun, but I needed to do something just that was kind of very personal in me. And my mother had done quite a bit of stitching, and mostly when she was pregnant with me and my three siblings. She was, very kind of a 70s child, and got into needlepoint and cross stitch and all that good stuff that a lot of people were doing back in the 70s and 80s. And I had one of the pieces in my room, and everything that she made is, saved by me and my siblings and very coveted. And this piece I actually just gave to my sister a month ago to put in my niece's room, who she was just born 2 months ago. And so I've kind of passed it on. And embroidery has always really had a very kind of heirloom aspect to me. It seems, the pieces are, almost sacred. They're because they had that touch. They had that, my mom was just sitting there and just working on these pieces, and, pregnant and not able to really do too much. So there's just such amount of love in it. And I guess I was inspired by this piece. I was, clearly looking at it every day. It was right above my bed. And I also noticed that there was a lot of contemporary embroidery starting to happen, and I was starting to see in different places, one of which was the album art for Joanna Newsom's Milk Eyed Mender, which I was listening to on repeat that year, and the cover of it is just beautiful. It's this kind of collage embroidery piece, and just kind of looking at that and seeing a couple other things, and just it just kind of piqued my interest. And it's kind of as simple as that. I mean, there's certainly these kind of deeply emotional influences, but I mean, honestly, it was just kind of me wanting to be creative in a new way. And so I just kind of picked up a needle and thread, and I, at the time, was just stitching into canvas. And I just kind of experimented. I didn't really show many people. I certainly did not show anyone in classes that year. I was continuing to do my animation curriculum, and I would stitch, that whole winter, that whole spring, and I would show friends. I would work on it while chatting with friends. And there was something really meditative and calming and really nice to have this work that was purely for me at the time.
Embroidery and animation seem to be very time intensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you prepare for that mentally, emotionally, when you have identified what you want to work on? How do you get ready to approach this very time intensive project, or this whole process?
Sure.
If you will?
Well, both techniques and both types of working are, like you said, very time intensive. But what's great about them is that you can really sink yourself into them. And to mentally prepare myself for them, I just devote myself to it. And it's you really need to devote yourself entirely, and it becomes just completely your focus. And it's, both you can't really produce either types of projects in one day. So it's definitely something where you just devote yourself to, and you keep working on it until you finish it, and you keep the focus, and you keep just each stitch, each frame, and you just work through it. And if the motion doesn't work the first time, which it usually doesn't, you keep working the motion until it's right. And then once the motion's right, then you start producing the frames. And once the frames are done, then you shoot them. And once, you shoot them, you edit them together. And once you edit them, then you get to release them. And it's this lovely, culmination. And I must admit that both have this lovely, lovely sense of completion. Completing an animation is just, you're condensing so many hours of work into this just little nugget that is so, presentable. It's, you just click play and, let it happen. And embroidery is the same way. It's every stitch, is plainly visible when the piece is finished. And but at the same time, when people look at it, it's just one finished piece. It's one, culmination of all those hours of work and hours of dedication. And I think that focus and that just kind of being able to really dive into a piece has been really great for me, and has been a great way to kind of work through things, whether kind of working through aspects of grief or working through kind of things that I'm working through in my own life. Certainly a lot of personal issues, and I've worked through with my work, and it I find it a healing practice. I find it, like I said, a meditative practice. There's something just really, really lovely about both. And if I don't work, if I take a week off or a month off, I go crazy. I go completely crazy.
Aubrey Longley Cook, let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about your work and more about you.
Well, I post all of my work on my blog, which is spoolspectrum.blogspot.com. And I've been posting my work on there for since 2008. And the work at the beginning of it started before then. It started back in 2005, but that's when I started documenting it. But I did go through and pull up all my old stuff, and that's up there too. And that's the best way to keep in touch with me for right now. It's a linear documentation at this point of my work process, which I really like that people can see, you know, day to day what I'm completing, when it's completed, and just kind of the process and also inspirations. I also post about different embroidery artists that inspire me, which are many. And that's the best way.
All right. Well, Aubrey Longley Cook, thank you for taking some time to share with us today. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.